Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
Hey, it's Carrie Oberbrunner. I just want to give you a super big thank you for being one of our loyal Blockchain Life podcast listeners. The Igniting Souls Conference, look, we've been doing it for 12 years. IgnitingSoulsConference.com is specifically for authors, entrepreneurs, and influencers. We believe that the world has changed, and we believe that many people are still trying to reach their audience in the same way. And as a result, they're going to have more and more frustration. Seating is limited, and the super early bird rate ends soon. So, IgnitingSoulsConference.com, thanks so much. Now, enjoy the podcast. Hey, folks, welcome to Blockchain Life. It's Carrie Oberbrunner. I have with me a very special guest today. His name is Neeraj. And Neeraj, we are here today to talk about blockchain, specifically about your company, what you're doing. But give us a little bit of wisdom on and background about what blockchain, like, what's your story related to it?
All right, sure. So I started my life as a mathematician, a number theorist, in fact. And that's sort of what got me interested in the blockchain at the very beginning, you know, when the Bitcoin white paper was released. It made the circles in mathematical communities because it was quite novel in terms of, like, you know, the application of those kinds of techniques to, well, currencies and so on. So that's sort of what got me interested, but I didn't. That was just more of an academic interest for a very long time. I've been developing on the Ethereum blockchain and been building infrastructure for the Ethereum blockchain since about 2016. And that's sort of, like, you know, where most of my focus is. I run a company called Moonstream, and what we're doing in Moonstream is actually we're building tools for blockchain games that help blockchain games basically, boost their economies in various ways. So they use Moonstream to get analytics about how players are, you know, interacting with their game smart contracts and stuff like that. Where is wealth being concentrated? What's the inflation rate and so on? And then to deploy mechanisms into their games that help them sort of make their economies healthier in various ways, like, you know, all the way from airdrops to, like, mini games that their players can participate in to like loot boxes and health potions and weapons and consumables. Basically, our platform lets them just launch each of those onto the blockchain in a time when most games are usually not representing all of that stuff on the blockchain. Most games represent those stuff off of the blockchain. And what we found is that games that bring all of this activity to the blockchain, rather than keeping them fully in game, they can increase the size of their economies by a factor of 5 overnight just by representing all of this activity on the blockchain. We've done about $3.5 billion in transaction volume this year and, like, just growing.
Did you say 3.5 million?
A billion with a B.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
It's called Moonstream?
Yeah, moonstream.to is the website. So to the moon, right? Moonstream.to.
T-O?
To the moon.
T-O. Okay. So tell me this. I'm always curious about extensions.
Mm-hmm.
What is, I'm very big into extensions of webs. Sites. Why did you choose TO? Like, was it for To the Moon?
Yeah, it was for To the Moon. Yeah. It was specifically for To the Moon.
I love it. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to share your screen here, share my screen. I want you to walk us through, because this is fascinating. I just came from a lunch a few minutes ago where, you know, they would have never even thought about what we're about to talk about.
Yeah.
Is this your website?
Yeah, this is the website. That's right.
Okay, so talk to us. What's going on here?
What's going on the website?
Yeah, like what do I do? Join Discord. I know that's.
I'll tell you where to go. So our website is live, and right now you don't have contracts deployed on the platform, so you're not going to see very much of anything. We still have a little bit of a manual setup where we have to deploy contracts. Like, you know, when someone starts using Moonstream, we deploy contracts for them. Can I share my screen and show you?
Yeah. You do that.
Yeah. But basically, if you're a game developer or a game designer or something like that, the website that you go to is called engine.moonstream.to. So that's like the Moonstream, like the Web3 engine. And there's a bunch of different stuff that you can manage. So the thing that we get a lot of traction from right now is loyalty and airdrops, like this kind of thing. So we
Yes.
have one of the best airdrop platforms in existence. Basically, you can use this to, you know, we've done like, I think in the last month, we've done like almost $100 million in airdrops using the platform. I only
Wow.
see one thing. So basically everything is controlled by these badges that we give to our customers or to players or, you know, whatever. And my badge only allows me to airdrop Moonstream team badges to the rest of my teammates.
Okay.
So I can't show you what the customers see because I just don't have access to their wallets, right?
No,
But the way it
you're good.
works is,
You're good.
the way that it works is I can show you like what some of the badges look like, right? So let's go to and see profile. Don't want to upload anything, but here's, for example, the Moonstream team badge. People who have this badge have different levels of access on our, you know, for our internal tools and internal infrastructure. But there are other badges as well. So, for example, here's like one of our customers. They have a badge. When one of their game designers wants to manage their airdrops, they need to do that with the account that holds this badge, right? So this one is held by, I believe, only one account. By this address. So whoever has access to this address, when they come to engine.moonstream.to, they see a full list of all the drops that they can manage. And then, like, you know, they decide, okay, you know, as part of like this, let's say that where did this go? Here we go. Let's say that they're giving out rewards for like a staking program in their game, or they're giving out rewards. Actually, I can show you a cool thing that one of our customers built.
Sweet. Let's see it.
So they
By
have
the
a
way, while you're finding that, oh yeah, I'm gonna break it down because my audience is very new to Web3, a lot of them.
I see.
And I'm tracking with you, but I'll also ask you some questions along the
Okay,
way.
yeah, sure. So here's our customer, like one of our biggest customers is a game called Crypto Unicorns. And they use Moonstream to maintain this leaderboard of on-chain activity. So they reward players for like doing things in the game. Right now they have like a breeding event going on. So people who breed their unicorns, they get like a certain amount of points for, you know, different outcomes so just for breeding a unicorn, they get 50 points. If it's a unicorn that's like especially rare, they get an extra 20 points. If they grow a baby unicorn into an adult unicorn, they get 10 points. And then they give out these rewards. So like these are all on-chain rewards, mostly on-chain rewards. Actually, these are all on-chain rewards that their players get for their position that they have on the leaderboard at specific times. They manage the distribution of these rewards using our airdrop website. So that's sort of like,
Explain, this is fascinating. Explain on-chain versus off-chain. When you said that there's on-chain rewards, off-chain rewards.
So when you run a game, you know, the way that it usually works is you have a game server in which like it's very difficult to run a game fully on the blockchain. Okay, maybe it's better to start there, right? Because when you do stuff on the blockchain, you're bottlenecked by the amount of transactions that you can put through on the blockchain. Every transaction that you submit on the blockchain costs money. So if you have a game which is high touch, which has like a lot of frequent which needs to have frequent interactions between players, it's almost impossible to represent that game fully on the blockchain because it would
Really?
just cost the players too much money. You know, they wouldn't be able to like interact with each other several times a second. They would have to wait for transactions to go through and the other player to pick up their interaction. So it just takes time and money.
Even if you use Polygon
Oh
or
yeah.
some, even
Polygon,
then,
Solana, everything.
wow. Okay. So because of that, like you said, you then have to run some of the game, quote, off chain.
Exactly. So the way that a traditional game runs, right? So if you're playing like World of Warcraft or something, there's like a game server somewhere on which like a bunch of players log in. They interact with each other through that server, and then and that's it. That's their game experience. With blockchain games that represent stuff off-chain, the way it usually works is you'll have some tokens on-chain which give you access to like, you know, the game. For example, let's say you have characters or something, and those are the characters you play in the game. You own the characters on the blockchain, whichever blockchain the game operates on, and then you there's different mechanics. So with some games, you stake those characters into the game. With other games, you bridge, like you might not stake it. You might not actually transfer ownership of the characters to the game. You'll mix, you'll do something else on the blockchain that says like, okay, this character belongs in this game. And then once the character's in the game, then you play on a game server like the way that you would a traditional game. And then there might be some resources that you earn in game, which they'll again bridge out of the game and onto the blockchain. So you can trade on like, you know,
wow,
secondary markets or something.
So that's one amazing. Very,
I just,
so
yeah, I, there we go. Yeah.
Oh no, that's amazing. Yeah. So talk to me about our audience is authors, mm-hmm. entrepreneurs, and influencers. So if we don't have a ton of gamers that listen to the podcast, do you believe that there's a opportunity for authors, entrepreneurs, and influencers within your sphere of what you're talking about?
That's the most exciting thing about blockchain gaming is that, you know, the really cool thing about blockchain games is the potential that they allow for collaborative creation, right? So I think for the really successful blockchain games, it's not like a single company or a single entity that's building the game and sort of like, you know, in a closed off environment, isolated from the rest of the world so that like, you know, their players play the game, but they're really like at the mercy of the company that's designing the game.
Yes.
Or I think the really great communities are the really great blockchain game communities are the ones that open up creation to the entire community, right? Where if you're an author or you're an artist, you can actually, you know, you have a ready audience of people who want to consume your content because your content is like in line with the theme of the game or something, right? There needs to be some sort of thematic element there. But, you know, let's say that you write like fantasy fiction and there's like a game, like, you know, some fantasy themed game on the blockchain. And the style of your fiction is like consistent with the theme of the game. Then you have an audience of people who are like really very happy to consume your content as long as it's like, you know, fits into their game world. And you can be rewarded for it directly. Like you don't have to get permission to like create content or something like that. As long as you're conversant in their game mechanics or you're conversant with like their game contracts or you're conversant just in general with how their game and how their community works, you can just directly go to the players. You can go to the community itself and say, here's some content that I created that for your game, and this is how you can consume this content, and this is how I get paid out for this content. So you can actually make a living without having to go through like the people who control the game by just directly going to the community and creating content for them. And I think that applies also to entrepreneurs. There are lots of business opportunities. You know, blockchain game economies are real economies. Like it's no longer an economy that's controlled by like a group of game designers somewhere that says like, you know, I need to put this many tokens into supply, or like I need to like do, I mean, the game designers do that, but they're doing it inside a real economy, because as soon as you have tokens on a blockchain, people that you don't even know, people who don't even know anything about your game can start trading those tokens on a decentralized exchange. And you have to be respectful of that. You can't say like the only people who can use my tokens are the people who play this game, because that's just not how the blockchain works. And so there are plenty of opportunities for entrepreneurship in these games as well. For influencers, like, you know, of course, for any game, it's a story of like, you know, how do I get the word out about this game? And that's what influencers are good at. So for all of the parties that you mentioned, I think there's like a huge potential for games. The thing that I'm the most excited about is for authors, for content creators, for people who are creating content in the communities, blockchain games and sort of the technology around blockchain games gives them a way to create content that goes directly to the consumer, that doesn't go through any of these third parties, and that allows them to like make a living by creating that content directly and connect directly with the people who are like consuming that content. I think that's the most exciting thing for me.
How wild do you think? I mean, I hear this, and I know about that much about blockchain, mm-hmm. but I just came from a lunch where the people know.
Yeah, right. Right.
You know, and if they and you know this much, and I feel like, wow, I feel like, where is this all going? I mean, we have economies, we have designers, we have characters. It almost seems like, where's the limit to where this could go? What do you think? What's coming next?
It really depends on if we're headed to like a post-scarcity future or if we're or not. It really depends, I think, a lot on that, because.
And post-scarcity, what do you mean, like a recession, or what are you talking
about? No. I mean the opposite of a recession. I mean to the point where like the vast majority of people, or like everyone, is not going to be worried where their next meal is going to come from. Gotcha. Or like, or they're going to pay rent on their like house or something like that. A place where like just your basic necessities are no longer like a concern for, well, hopefully everybody in the world, but like at least a majority of people in the world. Like right now, that's the case for a decent number of, actually there's a class of people in every country for whom it's really not a concern. And then the majority of people in every country, it really is a concern, right? Most people are living hand to mouth or paycheck to paycheck. If we're headed to a place where, an increasing number of people don't have to worry about these things, then what are they going to value, right? Like, so right now we value like shelter, and we value like, security, financial security and things like that. If financial security, like overnight, for you, or for any particular person, didn't become a concern, what are they going to value? And you're going to value entertainment, and you're going to value ideas, you're going to value like sort of intellectual enrichment. In that kind of a future, I think, the blockchain has like the blockchain games, for example, or like just the concept of a metaverse, or any of these things, it has a central place in that kind of a future, because there's going to be physical limitations to like, what you can get in the real world, like around you, but there's almost no limitations to what you can get in a digital world. And so in that kind of a future, I think this has a central place. If we don't get to that kind of a future, then I think it looks very different. And like it's an open question, like, what the value of the blockchain is going to be. And right now, these days, it doesn't look like we're going to get to that kind of a future, but it's just tumultuous times, basically. It's just the difficult times right now. There's like plenty of people, it represents escape. Yeah.
So you believe right now that we are in a defining moment where we're kind of on the cusp, where blockchain is being consumed and utilized by a lot of people who view it as entertainment and curiosity and creativity. But you believe that the next year, 2 years, maybe more, are very critical. If we can answer basic needs, then we all benefit, and then blockchain becomes a whole nother level.
Yeah, it just becomes like a layer of reality, right? Basically, it becomes like an important layer of reality. It's a quite interesting thing, because even with blockchain gaming, you can see a dichotomy of users, and the market crash has made it really like apparent as well. So basically, I think the most popular blockchain game is Axie Infinity. Like that's sort of like the big daddy of blockchain games is Axie Infinity. And it's a play to earn game, and people were earning a living by playing Axie Infinity. And some people are still earning a living by playing Axie Infinity.
I've heard about that.
Those people are not playing it for entertainment value, right? Those people are not playing it for intellectual stimulation or anything like that. They're playing it to put food on the table. So there's two different types of players of blockchain games. There are the people who play for entertainment and for intellectual stimulation, and then there are people who play just to earn, who like because they need to earn money, like because this is their way of making a living. And that's a very important thing. It's like it should be really like that should never be dismissed. It was a good way to earn money. Now that the market has crashed, what we're seeing is the players who are playing crypto games to earn money, they're sort of going away, because the crypto that they were earning, like the system was very exploitative, right? So the way that it works with guilds is like the players don't necessarily earn enough. Like it's hard for them to build a cushion, right, of savings. They're basically living again like hand to mouth. Like whatever they earn that day is what they're spending on food that day and rent that month.
Wow.
And so when the market crashed, what we saw is that like that kind of a system just like took the floor out of those economies, because now all of a sudden, like when the crypto that they're earning is not worth as much anymore. All of these players, since they haven't built up any sort of a cushion of savings in their previous activity, they have to go and find something else to do, which isn't blockchain gaming, right? So now the play-to-earn players, I think we're seeing them sort of move out of the ecosystem just because it's not financially feasible. I mean, there's like some like Step N, for example, like people make hundreds of dollars a day by playing Step N. I don't know how sustainable that is, and I don't know how much of it is just like being backed by like their VC investments or something like that. But in general, you know, this is not something that I would want to bet like the future of my family on, or like if I were playing play to earn. I mean, I bet the future of my family on building blockchain games, but I wouldn't be like betting them on play to earn blockchain games. And I think players are realizing this as well. Like this last week, I think someone published a statistic that there has been a 96% decline in GameFi activity since since the market crashed, basically, which is way larger than I would ever have even imagined.
Wow.
That actually shows you how infeasible it's become for people to earn like a daily living by playing blockchain games anymore, and how they think about it. And so now we're seeing a proportional increase in people who are playing these games for entertainment value and intellectual stimulation. And that's something that's going to build slowly, because it's a much smaller group of people who want to do that than like people who want to earn money, because everybody needs to earn money. I need to earn money. You need to earn money. But now that like the emphasis is shifting more towards entertainment value and stimulation and stuff like that, we're going to see like a different breed of blockchain game become popular. It's a quite interesting time for blockchain gaming, for sure.
Wow. All right. A couple more minutes here.
Yeah.
So you started because you were in mathematics.
Yeah.
You found Bitcoin white paper interesting.
Yeah.
When do you think you really jumped all in? Was there a point where you left your job?
2016, I sort of started getting all in. 2016 was the beginning of it. At the end of that year, I left my, or maybe at the beginning of 2017, I left my job at Google. I decided I didn't want to like work at Google anymore. And at first I joined a blockchain startup. At some point I was sort of running the blockchain team over there. And then I decided I didn't want to do that either, and I'd rather just be doing my own thing. And in 2018,
wow.
I found Moonstream.
How much do you think of the percentage of the population is really on board with Web3?
That's a good question, and it depends on what you mean by on board with Web3. Like, interested in Web3, I think it's actually like a pretty large percent of the population, not a majority, maybe like 20% of the population of the United States or something, right? Like, I mean, probably everyone has heard of NFTs by now. A lot of people are very skeptical of it, and they're like quite antagonistic to this whole thing. And I don't really understand why. I mean, I sort of understand why, but I don't really understand why. There is a certain culture around Web3 that they might find like abrasive, but the potential of this technology is so amazing that I think it's worth some research, or worth some consideration anyway.
Yes.
Like, regardless of what you might not like about it. But I would say, like, maybe, in terms of like wanting to try things out, like maybe 20-25% of the population of the United States. Just let's consider the US. I think globally it's actually much larger. I think other countries are going to be much faster to adopt this technology than the US is, or than people in the US are. But yeah, maybe 25% in the US are like sort of interested in it. In terms of like being able to, do basic stuff on like various blockchains, like maybe 5% of the US population is like able to do basic stuff on chain. And then in terms of being able to do complex stuff, like maybe it's 1%. And then in terms of being able to build, it's like maybe a few hundred people, maybe a few thousand people.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's very early days. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So what would you say? Let's go two minutes more. What would you say my audience needs to do? I mean, besides, obviously, I'm going to tell them to go to Moonstream.
Yeah, Moonpay is a different company. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Moonstream.to. So they need to go there. What other actions, practical actions, would you give them to take so that they can get more aware and immersed into Web3?
So I think the first thing is to understand what type of activity you're interested on Web3. Are you interested in trading? Are you interested in gaming? All of those things. And then choose a blockchain to become familiar with. If you're not already familiar with a blockchain, choose a blockchain to become familiar with. Create an account. Start off with a centralized exchange. You should definitely be able to buy crypto on a centralized exchange. Go through like all of the KYC and stuff like that. Create a wallet, right, that you have access to that's not controlled by a centralized exchange. Get comfortable with like moving funds from like your centralized exchange to your wallet back to the centralized exchange, like get the on-ramp and the off-ramp sort of like get comfortable with those. And then just, you know, put a little bit of money aside every month and start like participating in the kind of act, like if you're interested in trading, like go and participate in like, you know, on decentralized exchanges or on Balancer, or like, you know, there's all of these different ways for you to earn yield off of like your assets on chain. It's good to get familiar with those. And there's plenty of forums where people will help you sort of get started. Cryptocurrency subreddit, for example, or like Ethereum subreddit, if you're interested in that ecosystem, Solana subreddit, if you're interested in that ecosystem. So like people are generally pretty helpful. If you're interested in gaming, like choose games that like, you know, strike your fancy and, you know, get money on those blockchains and start playing. I think there's no substitute for just like having firsthand experience with this. And if you do it now, you're going to be one of the early people, and you'll be able to help other people get on board. It's like, it's really, this is a great time to sort of spend that effort and, you know, just gain an understanding of how the blockchain works. It might feel like it's too late, but it's not too late.
This is great, Neeraj. So first of all, congratulations to leave a safe job, because I did that in 2012. It's scary, especially if you have a family or kids or a wife. So congratulations. Number two, you're crushing it. Oh my gosh, you told me some of your numbers. Moonstream.to, that is amazing. And then I'll be honest, you kind of blew my mind today. You talked about some topics that I don't know, and that's exactly why I have this podcast, because I want to get around smart people. And you know, you shared some very cool things about airdrops and you know, the engine, and I encourage people to re-listen to this. Do you have any personal stuff, articles, blogs that you have, or does your website or anything?
Actually, we usually publish all of those on Twitter. So if you just, my name, everywhere that I am, I'll type it in chat. My name is Zombies. I'll put it in the private chat. So,
but I can see it right here, right? Is it N-E-E-R-A?
No. But on Twitter, I'm Zomblings. So you need to use my Twitter handle, and then
I love it. So let's say that. Let's say that out loud because of the podcast. So
it's Zomblings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Zomblings. What does that mean?
Oh, it's an old StarCraft joke. So I used to play a lot of StarCraft when I was younger, and there was this thing called a Zerg Rush. So you'd say like Zomg, like Zerglings, and
it became. I love it. Yeah, that's so good. Well, I'm gonna follow you right away on Twitter so I can learn more. Because you definitely have the pedigree with Google and blockchain and some other things. But thanks for being here. Thanks for sharing with our community. And now I know where to point people when they need blockchain gaming. How would I word it exactly? Because I want to be a good referral for you. What would I say?
If you're building a blockchain game and you want to like, you know, kickstart your economy, just reach out to Moonstream. This is the way.
Gotcha. Kickstart the economy with
people games that have been using Moonstream, they've used it to like increase the size of their economy by a factor of five. So just if you want to 5x your economy, you know where to go.
That's a good value proposition statement. Well, thank you so much for being here, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Kerry. It was nice talking to you.
You have a great day. We'll see you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.